We all have more or less experience to comprehend what I'm saying, about to say, but I found that over the years, many things have changed. Some things for the better, and some things maybe for the worst. But one thing I really, really like about our modern age are those videos that they have on YouTube. You know those videos that are how-to videos? It's like someone goes through and they step-by-step show you how to do something. Personally, I had a wash machine. You know there's that thing in the middle of the agitator. It's like that thing that mixes the clothes around as the washing machine functions. Mine had broke and it just sat there. And I didn't really know what to do. So just out of curiosity, I went on YouTube, put in the make and model. Sure enough, there was a video. I watched it. It showed me not only what was wrong with it, but what part I needed to buy and how to fix it. And I did. And it was like a $10 fix. You need to know how to make gravy? YouTube video. Right? You need to know how to hang that new ceiling fan? YouTube video. Need a homeopathic remedy for that cough? YouTube video. You need to know at what temperature and how long that meatloaf needs to stay in the oven? YouTube video. I'm telling you, they have a video for almost everything. And in a similar way to a how-to video, Jude here gives us in verses 17 through 23 instructions for how to contend for the faith. You might remember in verses 3 and 4 that this is the purpose of the entire letter, telling you must contend for the faith. And then he's given us a lot of other information, but here he completes it. He tells us how it is that we're supposed to do what he's called on us to do. As we meditate on this passage of Scripture, we're going to ask the question, how? How does Jude say we should contend for the faith? In verses 17 through 19, we see that we are to contend for the faith by having vigilance for faith. Vigilance for faith. Now I want to define, if I could, a couple words before we move on. The first word I want to just define and get you to remember is contend. We don't use that word a lot. About a month ago, there was a family camp. And at that family camp, all the congregations contended in a game of cornhole to see who would be the champions and who would bring home the trophy. In the end, it was Los Angeles against Seattle contending for this trophy. And LA won. And we got the trophy to prove it. So that's contend. What about this other word, vigilant? To be vigilant, if you're vigilant, you're someone who keeps a careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. In our times, they tell us to keep our eyes open, to be vigilant for suspicious people doing strange things, right? You remember that slogan they say? It's that slogan they've been beating into us these last years. If you see something, say something, right? They're asking you to be vigilant. In verses 17 through 19, Jude tells us we are to have vigilance for faith. Beginning at verse 17, Jude writes, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit." Jude says, you must remember, beloved, but you must recall. Don't forget. The apostles told you that in these last times, the faith is going to be attacked. In verse 3, Jude says that he found it necessary to write appealing to the church to contend for the faith. He wrote this letter because the church was under siege. Consider the ways Jude says the faith is under attack. In verse 4, for instance, Jude says that certain ungodly people had crept into the church that were twisting the scriptures, perverting the grace of God, and denying Jesus as Lord. Jude goes on to compare the false teachers to unbelieving Israel, fallen angels, Sodom and Gomorrah, Cain, Balaam, Korah. Jude says that the adversaries are lawless men who defile the flesh, reject authority, and seek to draw the church after themselves. In verse 16, notice Jude says the false teachers are grumblers, malcontents, and that they are following their own sinful desires and were showing favoritism to gain advantage. And verse 19 tells us that they are causing divisions. They sought the loyalty of those they perceived as having power by showing them favoritism, and then they sowed the seeds of division in order to gain followers after themselves. Jude says that you must contend for the faith. You must contend for Christianity. You must contend for its purity in doctrine and practice. That being said, you must contend for your faith. Jude reminds us that our faith is going to face assaults. Listen to the Scripture's testimony concerning why you need to be vigilant. Scripture says to put on the whole armor of God. You remember that, Ephesians 6? Put on the whole armor of God. Why do I need to wear armor? That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What does armor do? Armor stops a sword or an arrow or a stone being slung at you, a spear. Why would you need armor? The testimony of the Word of God is that Satan is going to scheme against you, against us. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Those are false teachers, right? Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Right? So they're going to look like us. They're going to sound like us. It's a warning, Jesus says. False teachers are coming, but inside, they're ravenous wolves, and you're going to be able to discern that by their fruits, by that which they ultimately do. They might say one thing, but what do they do, right? The Apostle Paul promised that fierce wolves would come in amongst us. He predicted that a time would come when people would no longer endure sound teaching, but having itching ears that need to be scratched, but having itching ears, they would accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Here we have not only a promise of false teachers that will certainly come our way, but ones that we have a promise that some in the church are going to fall for it, right? Why? Because they want to be told what they want to hear. The Apostle John warned, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And the Apostle Peter said, be sober minded, be watchful, right? Be vigilant. He says, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles. Scripture warns us again and again that the faith, that your faith, that my faith will come under assault. Therefore, you must be vigilant. Remember, stay awake. Be alert. Be aware. You must contend for the faith. How? You must contend for the faith by being vigilant. I mentioned the camp that we were at a month ago. And at that camp, they have, it's up in the, it's about, it's really close to the Canadian border in Washington. Beautiful. Pine trees. Great weather this time of year. There's a lake right down the street. It's a beautiful lake. When you go out, the camp owns church beachfront property. And so when you go out there to the beach, it's like something you would see on a postcard. Beautiful lake, mountains, trees. And they got this section roped off. And out there they have kind of a jungle gym, if you will, on the water for the kids, a dock going out. They got paddle boats. They got canoes. They got a smaller section for little kids and a table with a canopy on the beach. And I was sitting there, and I watched the lifeguard for a little while as he sat on his perch over there on the side. And I thought, you know, what a relaxing job. Just sit there on the beach and enjoy a beautiful scenery. Watch the kids have fun in the water, you know. But then it occurred to me that he has to sit there hour after hour and really pay attention. He can't just stare at his phone, right? Or read a book. No. He can't halfway pay attention. He must pay diligent attention and maintain a constant surveillance over the people in the water. It's a matter of life and death. And the same is true with your faith. Don't be careless with the gift God has given you. You must be vigilant. You must be someone who keeps careful watch for possible danger or difficulties that arise in the church. You should be diligent to care for your faith as well as the faith of your family and those whom you've covenanted with at church. We've all made vows to care for one another, to guard one another's faith. Well, let's take those vows seriously. I asked for a copy of that vow. Do you remember when there's new members, they ask them to take a bunch of vows, and then at one point they turn to us, or they turn to the congregation, and they ask the congregation to make a vow back to the person becoming a new member. This is a vow. It says, "Do you, the members of this congregation, welcome into your fellowship these who have now professed faith in Christ and have been received by your session? And do you promise to help and encourage them in the Christian life?" And you know what our response is. We collectively say, "We do." Beloved, we must take these vows serious, because some people will swim in the heretical doctrines and drown when they're pulled in and pulled under by their swift undercurrent. Still others will be destroyed by sin, right? Because sin wreaks havoc on your relationship with God. It'll destroy it. Drunkenness, sexual immorality, romantic relationships with unbelievers, pornography, stealing, hatred, idolatry, presumption, that is taking God for granted. All of these are like sharks in the water. They may just bite and wound you, or they may kill and devour you. Jude says that you must remember the warning signs given to you in Scripture. You must be watchful and on guard. You must contend for the faith by being vigilant. In verses 20 and 21, Jude continues to give us instructions by saying that you must contend for the faith by nurturing faith. By nurturing faith. Now, to nurture something is that process of caring for or encouraging the growth and development of it. Right? So if you're into gardening, you turn over the dirt, you prepare the dirt, you plant your plant, you make sure that it gets enough sun, but not too much sun, that it gets enough water, but not too much water, or you make sure that pests stay away from it, and vermin of every kind. You care for it. You love it. You nurture it. And if you do, it produces a lot of fruit or vegetables or whatever it is that you're trying to grow. Beginning at verse 20, Jude says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." In verse 21, Jude gives us a direct command saying, keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude says how to contend for the faith by proactively nurturing and developing the faith. Look at the three participles Jude uses in verses 20 and 21. That is the three words in the passage that end in ing. How do you keep yourselves in the love of God? By building, praying, and waiting. Jude says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." Here's the command. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Build, pray, wait. Jude says that we are to contend against, that those that we are to contend against are trying to tear down and divide the church. Look at the evidence. In verse 4, Jude says that certain people have crept in who pervert the grace of God, right? They're corrupting it, they're defiling it, they're perverting it, the gospel and the grace of God. And they deny the lordship of Christ. They're breaking down not only the doctrine, but the practice of the church. Verse 8, these people engage in immoral behavior, reject authority, and talk wicked nonsense about the leadership of the church. Verse 16, one we've already looked at. These are grumblers, malcontents. They're breaking the church down, right? Murmuring, grumbling, hoping to encourage that in you as well. They're following their own sinful desires. And verse 19, which we looked at, it is these who do what? They cause divisions. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. Those we are to contend against are looking to break down and divide the church. In verse 20, Jude says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith." When Jude says that we are to contend for the faith, we understand that he's saying that we need to, again, contend for Christianity. What are we to contend for? We're to fight or contend for keeping the church pure in doctrine and in practice, to make sure that what she believes and teaches is true and that she walks in holiness. God has blessed the church with elders who have the primary responsibility for shepherding the church. Elders, you must equip these people. You must teach and strengthen them. You're not always going to be around to protect them. Have you sufficiently equipped these people to stand against the storms that will certainly come their way? Do they know what they are to believe concerning God, as well as what duties God requires of them? Have you equipped them to contend for the faith? This book itself is a call that they do so. They must be equipped to do so. If you've been in a plane, you no doubt recall those instructions they give you right before you take off. You know those instructions, the stewardesses go up front and they show you the belt buckle and they say, You need to fasten your buckle. If the lights go off, the lights are going to go down the rows. They show you where the exit signs are in the plane. And then they tell you, if the cabin loses pressure, these oxygen masks are going to fall, right? And what do they always tell you? They always say, put on your own mask before helping others around you. And the reason for that is when you lose cabin pressure at really high altitudes, there's no oxygen. So you only have a matter of minutes until you pass out. If it goes too long, your brain dies, and then your body follows along with it. So it's imperative that if that mask falls, you put it on, right? You pull the little strings they show you, and they tell you, hey, don't worry if the bag doesn't flow, oxygen will be flowing. But once you put that on, then you can help those around you. And similarly, you need to contend for your faith if you're going to be of any use to help others. You have a personal responsibility to read the Word of God and understand the fundamentals of the faith. You need to grow in your understanding of the Word of God, and you need to put what you learn into practice. Like a bodybuilder, right, who wants to build his muscles. They need to eat right. And then they work out, they exercise, pushing their muscles to new levels. And in response to that strain your muscles feel, it builds, they grow, they add to it to be able to take on that which you're asking them to do. And in the same way, we need to train. What are we consuming? Are we working out? How do you grow in your faith? Sit under good preaching. Read your Bible. Read good books. Listen to audiobooks during your commute. Get involved in a Bible study. Attend Sunday school. The point is, don't be stagnant. Grow in your faith. And don't be a hearer only. Put those things you learn into practice. Seek to grow in both your doctrine and practice. And if time permits, invest in the church's social functions so that we can build ourselves up as a body, build ourselves up in unity and love for one another. How do you keep yourselves in the love of God? Build, pray, wait. What about praying? If we're honest, this could be a hard discipline, right? For all of us. I don't think any of us in this room would think we've arrived here in our discipline. But if you're someone who's struggling in particular with having any kind of regular prayer life, consider confessing that to someone you trust and asking them to be your accountability partner. Praying at a specific time every day can also be helpful. Setting your alarm, maybe 8 p.m., whatever works for you, and that alarm goes off, you know what it means. I'm going to set it aside and I'm going to pray. You can start small. I try to run a mile on a quarter mile track. I did fantastic for like the first 1/16th of a mile. But man, I went from being a smooth gliding runner to just stomp, stomp. Start small if you have to. Or you don't have to do the mile on the first time you're jogging after many years. Start small. If you live in a busy house or have trouble trying to keep your mind focused, consider writing your prayers. To those of you who have been given the grace to pray consistently, pray for your brothers and sisters who struggle in this area. Pray for one another. Pray for Christ Church. Pray that she will contend for the faith. Pray that she will grow in her doctrine and practice, in her knowledge of the truth as revealed in Scripture, and in her walk of holiness. Pray that she will be unified. Pray that she will wait on the Lord, looking forward to him and to all that he has promised her. In verse 21, Jude says, Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. When you hear that word waiting, don't just think in terms of your need to be patient and wait. No, this is referring to our eschatological hope. That hope and the consummation and in Christ fulfilling all his promises. When it says waiting on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, we're talking about clinging on to those promises Jesus has made to us with an eager expectation that they will be fulfilled. You see what I'm saying? I'm waiting on, I'm trusting in, I'm leaning on, I'm counting on, I'm waiting on that mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings eternal life. Do you remember that trick you learn when you're driving? When you first learn to drive, you have trouble staying between the two white lines that are right in front of you, or at least some of us do. And you kind of sway, you're like too much to the right, so you move to the left, and you know, you can feel your blood pressure rise. You're trying to stay in between these lines, and they tell you a secret. They say, don't just concentrate on what's right in front of you. Look at the white lines, but look far into the distance. And then drive to the center of those white lines, off into the distance. And if you do that, not only will your blood pressure lower, but you'll stay in between the lines, not swaying back and forth. Likewise, Jude would have you look forward with eager expectation for the Lord to fulfill all his promises to you. We need to constantly be reminding ourselves and others to keep our eyes on Christ. We need to point ourselves and one another to that which is eternal, to those things of ultimate significance. Jude says that we must contend for the faith by nurturing our faith. We must keep ourselves in the love of God by building, praying, and waiting on the Lord. We must be vigilant and on our guard. We must be about the work of strengthening our faith and our unity. And Jude continues to give the church direction regarding how to contend for the faith in verses 22 and 23. Jude says that you must contend for the faith by showing mercy towards faith. Mercy towards faith. I would confess that is a bit of a strange heading, but it'll make sense as we go on. All right, to have mercy on someone is to extend compassion or forgiveness towards them. And to have compassion is to have sympathy or concern for the sufferings or troubles of others. Jude says we should contend for the faith by showing mercy towards those whose faith is faltering. Beginning at verse 22, Jude says, "And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." Jude gives us multiple categories of people we should extend mercy towards. You see, because false teachers cause real damage in the church. Therefore, Jude wants the church to extend mercy to those that have clearly been shaken by them. He also wants the church to extend mercy towards those whose hearts have already begun to show the signs that they're being swayed by the false teachers, as well as to those who have already committed their allegiance to them. Jude exhorts his readers to engage in ministry to those who are in spiritual danger. In verse 3, Jude said that he found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith. Why? It was necessary because those who had professed faith in that apostolic generation were beginning to fall away. The book of Jude itself is a demonstration of Jude extending mercy. Jude didn't just type this letter up on his word processor, then edit it, make sure it was all good, decide or think about how many churches are in his presbytery, print out 35 copies or whatever it was, stuff some envelopes, put some stamps on them and mail them out. Of course not. It was way harder than that. He had to write his letter on papyri, which is made from the stem of a papyrus plant. And he had to use a stylus and ink to try to write on this coarse material. And then he couldn't just somehow stamp and copy it. No, copies had to be made by hand. And he couldn't just mail it, nor could he get in his car or on his moped or on the train or on a plane. These had to be delivered at great distances by hand. The book of Jude itself is a demonstration at the commitment of the church, of Jude in particular, to show mercy towards a church that was beginning to waver. Why is it important that the church extend mercy towards those who are wavering? Because those who reject the gospel and follow the way of the false teachers are going to be destroyed. Consider the evidence. Look with me at verse 5. Those who were saved out of Egypt but did not believe were destroyed. Verse 6. The angels who abandoned their faith and rejected God were destroyed. Verse 7. Those like Sodom and Gomorrah who pursued sin rather than faith and repentance were destroyed. Verse 10, those who reject the reason of God's word and instead wander around like unreasoning animals chasing after their own sinful desires are destroyed by them. Verse 11, those who follow after false teachers will be destroyed like those who followed after Korah and his rebellion. Jude tells us again and again that the way of the false teachers will lead to destruction. Therefore, Jude says, we should contend for the faith by showing mercy towards those whose faith is faltering. Jude says we should have mercy on those who doubt. These are Christians within the church who are being somewhat swayed by false teachers. Before I go on, I want to just say one little thing. In the context of this book, we're talking about false teachers that are within the walls of the church, of the churches in the Presbytery of Jude. But think of how this can apply. I'd like, as we go through these, to think how these can, this kind of thing can apply in us. Because a false teacher no longer has to grace his presence with us. He can reach you through a blog. He can reach you by writing a book or posting a video. False teachers can come in many ways, through professors, through our culture, right? Through books, through all kinds of things. They can touch us. Jude says to have mercy on those that doubt. It can be easy for us to be disappointed and frustrated by those who doubt and who have wavering faith. Think of those you've encountered in the church who continue to struggle because of their wavering faith. Struggling month after month with the same old issue. Think of those who you've run into who get caught up in conspiracy theories that they no doubt learn on the internet. Consider those who become easily stumbled by dogmatic theological debates online over matters of conscience. Is it right to ignore them and offer them no counsel? Is it right to give up on them? Well, they struggled just a little too long for me. course not. Christian, you have received God's unmerited mercy. You should display a similar mercy to people who are wavering. Be brave. Tell them the truth. Contend for the faith. If you're like me, you've gone to a lot of barbecues. You gather at your friends or family's house, and the scene always looks somewhat the same. You're outside, the barbecue's going, the smoke's rising, it smells fantastic. There's always several guys by the grill. People are gathered around in different places in the backyard, right? Maybe there's some music going, kids are running around having the time of their life. But there's always that one kid. He's like 2 to 4 years old, in my observation. He's always around that. And he's going nuts. And his mother tells him, don't run by the fire, it's hot. And she's told him a half dozen times already. But little Johnny, he doesn't listen too good. And so you've no doubt seen it. You're at a party, and I've sat there and I've watched little Johnny running around. And someone's talking to me, but I'm halfway paying attention because I know he's going to do it. And sure enough, there he goes. He darts out, running, looking over his shoulder behind him and running straight for the barbecue. And you catch him last second. And his mom starts reading him the riot act, right? And people gasp and their hearts racing. You caught the little kid just before he hit the barbecue. Jude says, church, do you see someone running towards the fire? Attempt to snatch them before it is too late. Show them mercy. Sometimes you see someone's heart change. Maybe a year, maybe even more before they walk away. You know, you see somehow they start talking a little different about the Bible, about whatever it is that their heart's thinking of wandering after. And man, you almost see it coming ahead of time. Just like that little kid, you know and you see it, him coming. But some might say, listen, if you play with fire, you deserve to be burned. They're getting what they deserve. Jude isn't calling for justice here. He's calling for us to extend mercy. Jude continues, to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Jude is here thinking of church members who've already given their allegiance to the false teachers. He says that we must show mercy with fear. Jude is saying that we must show the utmost caution and sobriety when showing mercy to people in this category. Have you seen any of those news articles this year with people who attempt to take selfies while overlooking a summit? I've seen several of these. One of the ones I saw was a guy who walked to the top and he saw an odd thing. It was a summit, so it's like a cliff overlooking a beautiful landscape. It was a tripod with a camera on it, but no one around. So he went to the park rangers. He said, hey, there's a camera up there. And sure enough, they went and looked, found a couple at the bottom of the canyon, taking a selfie, hit the timer on the camera, and then walked to the edge. And I don't know if it's a big gust of wind or one loses the balance. I don't know. But down they went. Some circumstances call for us to exercise some reverential fear, because the situation could potentially be deadly. Similarly, Christian, you must exercise wisdom when engaging people in this category. God has equipped all of us for different tasks. Some of us he's called to show mercy by committing to pray for someone in this category. Still others God may have equipped with wisdom and a large measure of faith and an extraordinary knowledge of the scriptures, these God may call to engage directly with fallen Christians and even the false teachers themselves. In either case, caution must be taken when engaging them. Jude says, to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. And the garment that Jude is speaking of here is an undergarment that's been stained by the body. Notice that we are to hate the garment and not the person who stained it. The people in this category are producing teaching and behavior that is offensive to God. I think that's why Jude uses this illustration, because it's gross. It's offensive. It's gross. Jude is saying that it should be equally offensive to you. You should naturally hate such conduct. You must not overlook the terrible and destructive behavior these people are engaged in, who push this type of stuff, this type of false teaching that can destroy people. You should hate the conduct even as you act in mercy toward them by praying that the Lord will bring them back. Let me stop here and get personal with you if I could. In June, we had two fall away to false teaching. Don't stop praying for them. I mean, it's human nature, right? The longer someone's gone, and again, you go back to that, well, you play with fire, you get burned. It's not what Jude is calling us to do. He's calling us to show mercy. Don't stop praying. And if you're one of the people who God has raised up to be a prayer warrior, maybe consider committing to praying for them. It's human nature. As time goes on, people begin to pass from our memory. And also realize they didn't fall away to false teaching that came from within our walls. False teachers in our era do a considerable amount of, they spread a considerable amount of their false teaching through the internet, through things like blogs. Be vigilant. In verses 22 and 23, Jude says that you must contend for the faith by having mercy on others who are faltering. You must have mercy on others by loving and encouraging those who doubt. You must have mercy on those who've begun to falter by snatching them out of the fire. You must remember to pray for those who have already fallen and consider engaging them with caution. Now, I would say if you are here today and you believe that you fit into the category of someone who doubts, I would encourage you. I would encourage you with everything I have to consider confiding in someone here that you trust. Remember, Jesus is contending for your faith. Jesus is standing before the throne room of grace, contending for you. And even in the deepest discouragement, know that you are not alone. Christ is protecting you. And I would encourage you to recognize that this text itself, calling on the Lord's people to comfort you and to have mercy on you, is a message for him even, that he's raised up his church to be a comfort for you. Receive his comfort. Confide in a believer you trust. And never, again, never forget, false teachers can come in many forms. And they may not all look in the stereotypical way that you might imagine. False teachers can come in the form of unbelieving friends and unbelieving family members, teachers, professors, music artists, actors, TV shows, movies, books, blogs, magazines, news media, politicians, or even the prevailing view of our culture as a whole, who likes to tell you what is moral and what is not moral. You might think of a false teacher as anyone who contradicts what the Bible teaches and therefore calls Jesus a liar. Verses 17 through 23 are perhaps the most important verses in the book of Jude. And that is because it is in this section that Jude spells out how he wants you to contend for the faith. And the purpose of Jude writing his letter is to urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And Jude specifies three things that his readers need to do. Number one, remember the apostolic warning about the false teachers. Number two, secure their own faith. And number three, reach out to rescue people who are in spiritual danger. In a similar way to a how-to video, Jude gives us instructions for how to contend for the faith. And as we've meditated on this section of Scripture, we've asked how. How does Jude say we should contend for the faith? Jude tells us that we are to contend for the faith by being vigilant, by nurturing the faith, and by having mercy towards faith. You must contend for the faith. You must contend for Christ's glory and for the purity of his bride. And beloved, you will have success. Christ is contending for the faith, and he has promised that he will present his bride without spot or blemish or any such thing. Jesus is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. And he will surely do it. Amen.